Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's the Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rowe, coming to you once again live for our community conversation segment. Today, it is the AAEA Community Conversations with Brother Booker. We're going to be talking about no justice, no peace. Oh, come on. Who can do this work? And are you prepared mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually to do the work of working on yourself? And so what it is that we do here is we're talking about the NAAEA, and that is the National African American Empowerment Association that looks at assisting the African American community and improving itself, to work on itself, to identify the issues, to look at the concerns in the community, and to address them through conversation and action. That's right, and action. But this platform is about creating a dialogue that we can then discuss and then go and take action. So the NAA is all about politics, right? Understanding politics in your community, understanding it at level, and being able to be effective in the system in terms of understanding the use of politics, understanding economics and economic system and economic development and money management. We have to be players in this system. We have to understand and learn capitalism. Next, there's athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. That's taking care of yourself and understanding all of those components to build to a healthy life mentally, physically, and emotionally. And then there is culture, understanding the relevance of culture and how culture has to be woven inside of an individual from the time he or she is born until the day he or she passes away from this earth. And how those cultural norms and values create structure within an individual's life. And then there's a comprehensive overall education and the development of the mind of our people, and that we can be positive, peaceful, and productive. Yes, that's right. It's the NAAEA. Go out to our website, NAAEA.Weebly.com. Learn more about it, but also join us. Become a member and be productive in the community wherever you are. So we're going to have a community conversation today with Brother Booker, and the topic is, what is no justice? What is no peace? Brother Booker, are you there?
Yes, sir. My brother, how are you?
I'm well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, my brother. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. So we're going to talk about what is no justice, no peace today. So I'm going to let you take the wheel. We're going to have a dialogue, and this is for the people. What you got for me, brother?
I want to share something with you that I posted on Facebook a few days ago, and I was listening to a radio and heard a commercial about the march that's coming up, you know, Reverend Al Sharpton and so forth is doing, and, you know, his tagline was, of course, no justice, no peace. And that got me to thinking, you know, I asked the question, will someone please explain to me what does no justice, no peace means? I mean, it's a nice slogan, but what does it mean? What's going to happen if black people continue to get no justice? Are we going to continue to meet in downtown America and throw bricks through windows? Or march holding hands singing we shall overcome? Or will we loot to get free stuff? And I guess the question is, what does no peace mean? Because we already know what no justice is. And then I define peace according to Webster. And peace is defined as a state of tranquility or quiet, such as freedom from civil disturbance, a state of security or order within a community provided for by law or customs. So with that, does it mean, does no justice, no peace mean that if black people don't receive justice, that there will be civil disturbance throughout America? That there will be no state of security or order within America's communities? No justice, no peace.
All right, let me stop you right there. Let's replay that definition again. Can you give it to us one more time?
Uh-huh. Peace is defined as a state of tranquility or quiet, such as freedom from civil disturbance.
Listen, people.
A state of security or order within a community provided for by law or custom. So then I ask the question, so that mean no justice, no peace means that if black people don't receive justice, that there will be civil disturbance throughout America.
Let me ask this question. And just taking that definition alone and looking at the path that we're on in terms of being in this country, right, being in this civilization and living through the things that we've had to live through, would you just say in the community that you grew up in, right? In the community that most of our African-centered community, is there justice by law? Is there justice in the – is there peace in the community? How do we get that? Right. Go ahead, brother.
Not only is there no peace in – our communities, as defined, you know, by Webster, obviously there's no justice in our communities. And we can look at that from outside the community, perpetrating no justice on the community, and hate to say, even inside the community, perpetrating no justice on the community itself.
True.
Therefore, causing no peace.
Hmm.
See what I'm saying? Because if we had justice within the community, regardless of what was going on outside the community, we would have peace. And that's why I asked, why I said, I know that Al Sharpton and Jesse and Barack Obama and so-called black leaders, they're not defining it that way. They're not saying that there will be civil disturbances throughout America. That would be no state of security or order within America's communities if there's no justice. That's not what they're saying, or any other civil rights leader or our black preachers are saying. You see, because when we start acting like that, now we're talking riots. Now we're talking, it's not, nonviolence is out the window. You see, because these brothers, they were around in the 60s, like I was, and none of them participated in the riots. In fact, it was their job to stop the riots and have a nonviolent movement. That was the job of the civil rights movement. So again, I ask, what is the meaning of no justice, no peace?
I have to ask that question myself, brother. And let me just add this in. The civil disturbances are in the communities that we live in every day.
There
is no peace on the ground with how we're killing and maiming and disturbing each other's peace. The community that's being policed by the police is no peace. I just had to add that in. Go ahead, brother. This is your conversation. I'm just, man, you find me up with these words, man, because we have had no peace in this country collectively since we've been here.
Exactly. Truly to the point. So and growing up in that hood, you know, I grew up in Kempton Court. I learned as a young man that you don't make veiled threats. Never pull a gun on anyone unless you plan to shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
No justice. No peace. So are we ready as a people to truly stand up for justice as a people? Are we ready to say, like Patrick Henry said when he said, give me liberty or give me death? Because in my mind, that's what no justice, no peace really means. If I don't get justice, then I'm ready to die for it.
Well, I dare say, brother, that we are getting the death part because our children are dying in the streets.
Right.
The liberty piece, I think even when you look at Patrick Henry and what he was talking about freedom for himself.
Right.
He wasn't talking about freedom for us. So he wasn't talking about justice and liberty for us. He was talking about it for himself. And I hate to bring that historical piece in, but we still don't have that in our communities. And until we understand what's going on in the community and why, we're not going to have the peace that we're asking for. Continue on, brother. Continue on. Question is, are we ready?
Right. Patrick was saying, as a man, what a man is supposed to be, give me liberty as a man or give me death. Because I don't want to live. If I can't be free, if I can't have liberty, if I can't have justice, then give me death. That's what Patrick was saying, as a man. And that's why I asked, we as a people, are not ready for this because we are not united as a people.
Mm-hmm.
We lack knowledge of self. We don't love ourselves. And that's why we get no justice. Going back to what you said earlier, how our communities are. We live in a community where we hate ourselves as black people. We have no love of self as black people. Therefore, there's no justice in the community. Therefore, no peace in the community.
You got that right.
So I say, no unity as a people, no justice. No love for self, no justice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not no justice, in my opinion. It's not no justice, no peace. It's no unity, no justice. If we don't come together as a people, we will never have justice. If we never love ourselves as a people, we will have no justice. Therefore, we have no peace. So therefore, if we are not truly together as a people, we will never receive any justice. And I concluded with my slogan, no unity, no justice. Is how I see it, brother.
All right. So let me ask you a question then. How, one, do we get knowledge of self? Two, how do we develop love for self? And then I think the third question would immediately follow would be, how do we then get this unity when we have been indoctrinated to hate who we are?
Well, you said something earlier when you were running through the things that we need to do as a people, the character and the things we need to reestablish and so forth. And one thing I wanted to add to that at that time was we need to learn to think. We need to use our minds, learn how to use our minds, because the greatest asset that our Creator called Him, her, God, Allah, Buddha, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever you want to call that person, that individual, our Creator, the greatest asset they gave us is our mind. And we do not use our minds. Okay? So if we learn to use our mind, to summarize it up, in short, we as individuals have to focus on ourselves first. It starts with us as an individual. I, as a black man, have to learn to love myself as a black man. Not egotistical at all, and I mean, but love me for who I am, the greatness that I am, love that. And when I do that, that then leads to me loving my people, loving myself, loving my kind. And then I want to do for self. We're going to help each other. Once I learn to love myself, that brings peace to the community. See, if I love me.
I agree. But here's the pivotal question and piece is, who's teaching this, right? The love for self has to be placed in the individual, right? From the time that you're a child or a baby, right? Because we all come in blank slates. And so somewhere in the process, we learn to hate ourselves. Typically, it's around the third grade or so. But we have to be able to instill in community and in family that sense of self that you talked about and that love for self. Who's teaching it and where do we get it from?
Well, unfortunately, who's teaching it? Honest answer to that question right now is nobody. There's nobody teaching black folks to love themselves. Now, you're born with it naturally to love yourself. We learn to hate ourselves. There are a lot of people, the system, systemic racism, teaches us how to hate ourselves. No one is teaching us how to love ourselves. And I hate to say that, brother, because that says a lot about mama and dad. Okay?
Uh-oh.
Because that's where it should start, in the household.
Mm-hmm.
If a child should grow up seeing examples every day of your life of self-love and self-respect. Every day you should see that. Every day you should see how your father treats your mother and how your mother treats your father. And then how your older siblings treat each other. That's something that's reared in the home. But if it's not in the mind, you know how we talk about the mind being destroyed, the Willie Lynch brainwashing, all that. You kill the home, you kill the head, and the body
that's right.
will follow.
That's right.
So that's what it is. That's why you don't see the love of self in the home. Therefore, it's not in the community. But that's where it starts. You know, like I've shared with you before, brother. As a young boy, I can remember sitting on the sink in the projects in the bathroom, looking in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
wondering what it would be like to be white.
Mm.
Yeah, because everything around me as a young black child was, you know, was got to the point, you know, I, obvious thing became, I don't want to be a nigger no more. Because niggers catch hell. You know, what would life be like if I was a white boy? But I had those questions growing up. I ain't going to lie to you. Automatically, that's a sign of self-hatred.
True.
When you're wondering those thoughts, that's a sign of that you don't like who you are. You know?
Yeah.
And it's taught to you. And when you see that hatred as children growing up, like you said, there's no peace in our community. Drive-by shootings, drug dealings, you know? Our main language in our community is profanity. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, they say, "Oh, you curse like a sailor." I said, "No, I was cursed like a sailor before I joined the Navy."
Okay, let me stop you right
you know?
There. Where have we learned that at? I'm saying it just like that, right? Because we got to speak our own people's language sometimes, right? Because
right?
this is black
right.
people conversation here. We're not talking to nobody else. This is down home.
Right.
Where we learn that
right.
at? Where we learn to cuss and fight and fuss and kill each other?
White folk. Straight up.
Oh.
White folk.
Oh.
I had when I was in the Navy, there was a white lieutenant I worked with, and we were in Europe. I think we were in Dublin, Ireland, having dinner because we were always a team making movies about Navy port visits and so forth. And you know, the British, they speak what white folk call, white Americans call, that proper English. You know, you ever heard the British talk, you know, they got that. Even the blacks that grew up in Britain speak that British proper English. Even in Jamaica, there's got to, you know, yeah, man, you know, because they, you know, they're the British colonizing. But we were sitting there having dinner, and the waitress, the waiter, he come over and he's speaking his language. And this white man, he was from Texas, and he had that southern drool, you know. And he said when the white man walked away after taking our orders, he said, "Man, I hate it when they F up our language like that. God, why they just mess their language up so bad?" And he looked at me and said, "Booker, why y'all do that?" He said, "Why black folks just mess up the language so bad and just tear it up like that? Why y'all, you know, do that?" Now, remind you, this man outranks me. He's my boss on this trip. And I just looked at him. I said, "Well, Lieutenant, God damn it, that's why we learned from our slave master how to talk like that. They taught us this shit. How else are we supposed to talk?" Master tell us, "Hey, boy, been there, give me that goddamn bucket." What are we supposed to say? "Yes, Master, here's the bucket you requested." Boy, he turned red. Looked like he wanted to lynch me. You know? It was like, "No, don't put this on us. You taught us this. You know,
True. You
taught us every profanity, every profound word in the language that we speak. You taught us. Every last one of them." So, your teacher, that's who taught us this. I mean, he was master. That's where we learned it from. And you know, the Willie Lynch thing, that's what we're supposed to do. Hate ourselves, turn on each other, kill each other. And then I saw a study from about the 89th Congress, I believe it was, where they conducted studies, research. They wanted to discover, I mean, they wanted a new way to handle their enclaves, which is the inner city, you know, the ghetto and so forth, what they wanted to do with the enclaves. And it was the 89th Congress. And, and what they did, the people that did the study for the Congress, they took four rats and put these four rats in a nice-sized box. They put enough water, enough food, cheese, and everything in the box for all four rats to eat. So those four rats ate good, slept good, no problems whatsoever in that box.
Mm.
They then put 16 rats in that same box.
Listen carefully, people.
They put water in there for the 16 rats. They put food in there for the 16 rats, everything they needed. Those rats started to kill each other. Started to fight each other because it was the same size box that the four rats were in. Now they got 16 rats in the box, and they started to kill each other. Cramped living conditions, okay? U.S. Congress member said after receiving that report, said that's what we want to do with our enclaves. We want to stack them in tight situations, stack them up as high as we can on top of each other, because as we know, land is the most precious of all values, and we don't want to give them any land. So that's how these things came about. And what they didn't do with the rats didn't have no dope or no liquor down in the box. So now you create tight, cramped living conditions stacked on top of each other, you know. Got a little food to eat, but now you're putting liquor in there, you're putting dope in there, and you get what we got.
That's the truth.
You know? It's not by accident,
so,
brother. It's not
by accident. Let me ask you this, brother. Let's go to priorities for a minute. Because what I see is parents, that household that our children are growing up in terms of developing structure, giving our kids what they need in terms of proper parenting. And you know, in public housing, the family's divided off top. And then let's slide over to the education system, because we're using the public school system as a form of social services, right? And also as a provider of structure in terms of how to develop our kids. That it should only be for education. The public school system is being asked to teach our children how to be human beings. And then let's slide over to the church. We got about 5 minutes left, but I'm going to try to wrap this up, and then we'll come back again to do it again. So we're dependent on the public schools to do the work parents should do. The church, we're asking them to do what now? Because most of our young people don't participate anymore. Who's developing our kids? Who's developing our children? And who are the ones that are instilling the discipline and the organization and the structure we need to love, care for, and protect each other? It's on you, brother.
I said it's about we know who's developing our children. We don't understand who they're developing our children for. It's called socialization, brother. The school socializes us, okay? The school socializes us. The church socializes us. Television socializes us. Radio socializes us. It teaches you how to act, okay? That's the system. That's systemic racism, all right? Like I heard the show last Saturday. I listened to it. The sister mentioned the school system, education system. Hearing one of her brothers, what they said, the education system does not educate you. It trains you. It trains you how to act, how to function, and how to get a job, okay? You're going to be trained to be a secretary. You're going to be trained to be a doctor. You're going to be trained to be a lawyer. You're going to be trained to be whatever. You are trained, not educated. What I said earlier, we're not taught how to think, how to use our minds. We're taught to memorize and repeat 2 times 2 is what? You know, we're not analytical in our minds ourselves where we say, okay, I hear what you're saying. I understand the data that you're giving me. Now I have to analyze it within myself to see what conclusions or what facts I come to based on the information you're giving me. Because how do I know what you're telling me true?
True.
We don't know. You know, if the teacher said it, it's true. Really? Teach history. The preacher said it. True. Really? Socialization, brother.
Right.
Race is systemic racism. That's what it's all about. I've said before, and people get upset when I use this terminology, but it's like a dog. We like dogs. You can train a dog. You know, you can train a monkey to play a piano. It doesn't mean the monkey educated. You know? You can train a dog to do flips, you know, unlock a door with his teeth, you know, do funny things and roll over when you command and so forth. Then you reward him with a little treat, well-trained dog, you know. And you can call that dog anything you want to call him. And once you train him to his name, come here, nickel. Dog come running. You know. Can't even kick him out the house. You try to kick him out the house, beat him upside the head. I'm tired of you. Throw him out the back door, and he's going to hang right around that door. And stay there. The freedom that just gave. That's us, brothers. Hate to say it, but that's us. We must come together.
We challenge right
people.
Now, brother.
We must come
we
together
right
people,
now.
And it comes and it starts with you. Starts with you. We must, as people, learn that it's not about me. My life is not about me. My life is about us. What can I do for us? Not me. Me gets us nothing but what we got now. We must come together as a people. And you know, I'm working on a thing about us economically that I talked to you about yesterday.
Right,
that we're going to try to put
together
quickly. So, you know, get us going together. It's not about my life. Is not about me. It's about us.
All right. Well, we got to come back and talk about that. We got about a minute left, and you've been listening to NAAEA Community Conversations with Brother Booker. What is no justice, no peace? You got to listen to this again. Share it with your friends and family. Any last words before we get out of here, brother?
No unity, no justice. Come together. As a people, we must. That's the answer to our problems. We haven't tried it in over 400 years, coming together as black people. Let's give that a try. You know what I'm saying? Like those, let's
That's
give
right.
love a try. Let's love each other. Let's love ourselves. Let's come together as a people. That doesn't work? I'll try anything that you want to try. But let's give this one a try. We haven't tried this. We don't try everything else as a people. We haven't tried coming together as a people. Let's give it a try.
All right. Thank you, brother. It's NAAEA Community Conversations with Brother Booker. Hey, come back and see us again, man. Your wealth of knowledge and information. Give you something to think about. We'll talk to you soon. NAAEA. Each Saturday at 2 p.m., you won't want to join us and you won't want to miss us. If you do,
hit us on demand, but check us out on Saturdays. We'll talk to you soon. It's www.naaet.weasley.com. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Beyond the sky.
Change don't come.
It's been a long time coming, but I know.